Well, it is great to have you guys here today. You know, one of my biggest hopes in this series is that we will all be honest with ourselves about the area or the areas of our life where we're just kind of going through the motions, whether that's on our job at work, or whether that's in our family, our marriage, our parenting, other relationships we have, or how we're taking care of ourselves physically or emotionally, whether it's in our schooling, or whether it's our spiritual life, wherever it is. So the big question is, are we willing to be open and honest with ourselves about where it is that we're just kind of going through the motions, and are we willing, with God's help, to do some things differently? Are we willing, really, with God's help, to do some things differently about this whole deal that we're going through the motions? And please understand that God wants to walk alongside you. He wants to help you and enable you to go beyond the motions. But it's so easy for us to fall into the trap of thinking that, you know, this is just the way it is. You know, this is where I am. I know I'm just kind of going through the motions, but there's really not anything that I can do about it. But the reality is there is almost always something that we can do. In my own life, I mean, in my marriage, there's so many times where I catch myself jumping to the false conclusion that something in my marriage is my wife's fault. You know, it's all her deal. She needs to work on this. This is her issue and all of that. And that's typically not the case. But interesting, there are occasionally some times where that is. It is something that Melanie needs to work on and process, and she'll acknowledge that and stuff. But what I've discovered almost invariably, when I begin to work through things and process through things on my own, even in those situations where Melanie's, you know, this is really my deal, I need to work on some of this stuff. Even in those cases, and certainly everything else, but even in those cases, invariably, I begin to realize there is something I can do. This may not resolve everything. It's certainly not going to take care of stuff that she may need to work through in her life, but it will do something, and it will make me a better husband in this situation. But there is almost always something that I can do. Whatever the situation is, wherever the area is in your life where you're going through the motions, there is almost always something that we can do. And we talked about this last week. We said that if we're going to go beyond just going through the motions, then we need to adjust our perspective. We need to shift our focus. We need to begin to focus on what we can do with God's help, not what we can't do. But that takes a willingness and a desire to do some things differently. If you're going to move beyond just going through the motions in your life, there are going to be some changes that need to take place. You can't just keep doing the same thing. There are going to need to be some things that you do differently. So how do we do that? How do we gear up to do some things differently in our lives? And that's what I want to talk about today. So if you have your Bible, if you would open it to Nehemiah, it's in the Old Testament. We're going to be looking at Nehemiah chapter 1. And what I want to look at in this passage of scripture we're going to look at is four action steps that we can take, that we need to take, and when we take in our lives, they will enable us to gear up to go beyond the motions in our life. Let me give you a little bit of the background, the context here for Nehemiah. After the children of Israel are released from slavery in Egypt, they eventually make it to the Promised Land. In the Promised Land, eventually, they experience kind of a golden age for Israel under King David and then his son Solomon. But from there on, it is practically all downhill. There are some exceptions here and there, but it's almost all downhill. The kings, the people of Israel, they turn their back on God again with some exceptions here and there, and I'm going to be simplifying for the sake of time. But they turn their back on God. God sends prophets to kind of give them a wake-up call to warn them, you know, turn back to God, get your life back in order, straighten things out in your life, quit just giving God lip service and then, you know, just going off and doing whatever you want. turn back to God. But after warning, after warning, after warning, after warning from these prophets, these men of God, and after years of God extending his loving kindness and patience to the people of Israel, eventually, God's sovereignty, he allows Israel to be overpowered, and a lot of the people end up being deported and end up living for years in exile. And after 70 years, and that's Daniel that we talked about actually last week. He was a part of that deportation and living in exile. But then after 70 years, a lot of those people end up being allowed to go back to Israel, go back to Judah, to Jerusalem. But some of them remained in exile. And so 100 years after this initial deportation and exile, we find this guy by the name of Nehemiah still living in exile, and he is serving under King Artaxerxes of Persia. And he's serving in a very interesting role, a very important role. He's serving as the king's cupbearer. And part of that job description entailed the very, at times, dangerous responsibility of tasting everything that the king was going to eat or drink. And the reason he was tasting stuff was to verify that it wasn't poison. So, on the one hand, it was a position that carried some great benefits. You got the best of the best food. I mean, this is like gourmet cooking. The downside was, it might be your last meal as you were tasting it. Okay? But that's the position that Nehemiah finds himself in. And when we pick up in this account, Nehemiah is just kind of going through his routine, just kind of doing his thing, apparently just going through the motions, when he finds out that Jerusalem, the walls around Jerusalem, are in ruins. And that's where we pick up in chapter 1 of Nehemiah, verse 2. Nehemiah says, Hananiah, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some of the men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile that we were just talking about. And also, I question them about Jerusalem. Now, all of this is happening around 444 BC. And he goes on in verse 3 and says, they said to me, those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. Now, that may not mean much to us, and that may not seem like, you know, really that big of a deal. But in that culture, at that time, having your walls, the walls of the city you're in ruins, was just a total just embarrassment and disgrace, because the city would have been defenseless and just totally and completely vulnerable. And so that's the situation that all of a sudden Nehemiah is aware of. And in that context, and throughout what we're looking at today, what I want you to get is that God is involved behind the scenes, at times in ways that we don't see, that we don't fully understand. He's involved in King Artaxerxes' life and softening his heart. He's involved in Nehemiah. He's involved in the circumstances. He's involved in Jerusalem. He's involved in all those things. In a very similar way, here's what I want you to get. God is involved all around you. In other people's lives, people who are overused lives, circumstances in ways you're not fully aware of. But God's at work. He's involved. He's sovereign. And he's in control. So Nehemiah finds this out. He begins to think about and dream and kind of imagine of some things possibly being different. Number one, the first action step that we need to take, if we're going to gear up to go beyond the motions, number one, is we need to imagine a new possibility. We need to imagine a new possibility. We need to see a new reality. When we're just kind of going through the motions, we need to be able to project out and begin to visualize what could possibly be if things were to change in our lives. Now look at Nehemiah's response in verse 4. It goes on. Nehemiah says, when I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. When he hears about this situation, Nehemiah is just heartbroken. I mean, he feels terrible about it, and he immediately goes to God, and he begins to seek God's guidance and his wisdom and his strength. But he doesn't just pray about it and then just kind of go back to his routine as a cupbearer. He refuses to just go through the motions. He realizes that there's the possibility that in this unique situation, God might want to use him to make a difference. Now, not just go through the motions. As crazy and outrageous as it must have seemed, he begins to sense that maybe God wants to use him to help rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. Now just stop for a second, though, and think about this, the circumstances, the situation that Nehemiah is in. Nehemiah doesn't have the freedoms that you have to just get up and do whatever idea, concept that he dreams up or imagines. He is basically in servitude to the king. He's basically the king's slave. But in spite of that, he begins to process and to get this sense that maybe God wants to use him for something bigger, to make a bigger impact. He begins to imagine. He begins to visualize what could be. And that's what we need to do. We need to go to God in prayer. We need to seek his guidance and direction and begin to imagine, begin to visualize how God might want to use our gifts and talents and abilities and strengths to do something more, to do something bigger, to make a bigger impact, to represent him at work, at school, in our home, in our family, whatever the environment that we're in. I think about how could God use you where you are to represent him? How could God use you, use who you are and what you do to bring honor, to bring glory to him? Because when we step out of the lane that some of us are in, some of us, it's like we are living our lives in this lane. It's like we live in this box, and we think, this is who I am, this is what I do, and that limits us. It confines us. Maybe you're a stay-at-home mother, maybe you're a teacher, maybe you're a firefighter, maybe you're a truck driver, you know, whatever that is, you have a tendency to think of yourself, this is just who I am. But when you stretch yourself outside of that lane that you've been living your life in, and you begin to see yourself in a new way, you begin to imagine new possibilities, you begin to see yourself as a representative of God that God might want to use on mission for him. It's a game changer. And you begin to see yourself totally different, and it infuses you with passion, infuses you with a sense of purposefulness in your life. So we need to be open to what God wants to do in and through our lives. And we need to invite him in to the situation that we find ourselves in. And in the process of trying to imagine, trying to visualize how God might want us to step outside of the motions that we've been going through, we need to make sure that whatever it is that we're imagining is in alignment with God's purpose for our lives. Because purposefulness flows out of alignment with God. Purposefulness in your life, it flows out of living your life in alignment with God's purpose. So real quickly, I want to give you five questions that you can use to assess and process through whether what you're imagining, whether the plan that you're coming up with, what you're visualizing, is actually in alignment with God's purpose for your life. Five things. Now, you don't need to necessarily write these down. We're going to put them up here on the screen. But this week, it's going to be in the Dive Deeper online stuff that we're going to be giving you, so you don't have to write down. But how do I know if a plan is aligned with God's purpose for my life? A, am I praying about it? And very important, do I feel comfortable praying about it? Have you ever prayed and invited God to direct and guide your plans, your goals, your family, your relationships? Have you ever done that? Have you prayed about it? Now, if it's something that is, you know, it's like immoral, unethical, illegal, unbiblical, you don't even need to pray about that, okay? That is not in alignment. That will never be in alignment with God's plan and purpose for your life. But are you praying about it? Have you taken it to God in prayer? B, is it in alignment with God's priorities and principles and redemptive plan in Scripture? Is it in alignment with God's priorities, what God says is important? Is it alignment with His principles, His truth, with the redemptive plan of what God is doing in the world? What Nehemiah steps into was very much in alignment with a bigger redemptive plan that God was fleshing out. See, is it more about me getting credit and accolades and recognition, or God getting credit, accolades, and recognition? Nehemiah doesn't eventually take this project on, rebuilding the wall, for his own sake, to get honor, go, woo, look at me, look at what I'm doing. It wasn't that at all. I mean, he was doing it completely to honor God. What we need to do is we need to join God in what He's doing. And then D, does it require a step of faith? Does it require dependence on God? Because God wants us. He wants you living by faith, trusting Him. And then E, will God be glorified? Will God be glorified in this plan that you sense that God is leading you to take on? But we need to make sure that our plans, whatever they may be, that they are in alignment with God's purpose for our lives. Because as we get our plans, whatever it is that we're visualizing, we're getting the sense that God may want us to do, when that is in alignment with God's plan and purpose for our life, what happens is God gets actively involved in our lives, giving us the energy. He energizes us, giving us the wisdom, the guidance that we need, giving us the inner strength and the determination that we need to move ahead and accomplish these things that God is leading us to do, to make the changes that maybe we're needing to make in our life, to go beyond just going through the motions. But it's not enough just to imagine or visualize some new possibilities. We've got to do something about it. So the second action step that we need to take if we're going to gear up, okay, to go beyond the motions, number two, is we need to take the next step. We need to take the first step, and after you take the first step, we need to take the next step, and the next step, and the next step. We got to start by taking the first step. And some of you may be thinking, thank you, Captain Obvious. That is so insightful. And I understand, yes. Yes, this is basic. It's foundational, elementary, obvious. It's all of those things. I get that. But this right here is one of the biggest reasons we stay stuck just going through the motions. Because we plan, we think about it. We talk about whatever it is that we're planning on, we're thinking about doing. We do research on it. We pray about it. We just never take the first step. We never do anything about it. We need to move out in faith. We've got to move out in courage. We've got to move out with confidence. We've got to lean in to God. Lean in to the challenge. Lean in to what we need to be doing. Even at times in the moment, it may seem risky, but we need to lean forward into it. So God lays this big dream on Nehemiah's heart. And what he does is he leans into it. So he begins to pray for God's favor and God's guidance. But he doesn't just pray. He steps out of his comfort zone. He steps out with bold, audacious faith. And he asks the king for a favor. What I want you to get is that he acts. He acts. He does something about what he senses that God is wanting him to do. And so he steps out with this bold, audacious faith, and he asks the king for a favor. He asks the king for a leave of absence. Now understand that in that day, in that culture, going before a king as a servant and asking for a favor was very risky business. I mean, the potential was there. If the king sensed any presumption on an individual's part, was that the king would say, that's it. Not just your job, but that's it. That's your life. And it was over. But Nehemiah steps out, bold, audacious, courageous faith. And he asks him for this favor, for a leave of absence, to actually leave serving the king. That's his main responsibility, to be able to make this long journey and travel to help rebuild this wall. But not only does he do that, but he has the nerve to ask for supplies. And God, who's at work behind the scenes in ways that you don't see and you don't understand, working in other people's lives, working all around, God honors Nehemiah's bold, audacious faith. And he moves the heart of the king. And he's allowed to go. And so he travels to Jerusalem. And what we begin to see as this process, as this journey begins to unfold, is Nehemiah is just infused with a sense of passion and purposefulness. So if we're going to go beyond the motions, we're going to have to step out. And we're going to have to move against our fears, against the apprehensions, against the insecurities that maybe we have. We've got to step out in faith, bold. Audacious faith. You got to take that first step and then the next. Journey of 1,000 miles begins with a first step. You got to take the first step. The little ant eats the elephant one bite at a time. Actually, I don't even know if ants eat elephants, but you get the point, okay? We've got to take the first step. We've got to step out in faith. It all starts with taking that first step in the right direction and then taking the next step and the next step and the next step and the next step after that. You got to take the first right step. With God's help, we've got to be willing to do some things differently, to do some things that we haven't been doing. If we're going to go beyond just going through the motions that we're caught up in. Look at what Nehemiah does. Skip on down, next chapter, chapter 2, verse 13. Nehemiah, nobody knows, once Nehemiah gets to Jerusalem, nobody knows what he's doing, what he's even there for. It says, verse 13, it says, by night, Nehemiah says, I went out through the valley gate, with nobody knowing, toward the jackal well and the dung gate, examining the walls of Jerusalem, which had been broken down, and its gates, which had been destroyed by fire. It's all dilapidated mess. It's all in a shambles. And he goes out and evaluates at night. He goes out and evaluates the situation for himself and comes up with a plan. Then skip on down to verse 17 and 18. He said, Nehemiah says, then I said to them, to the people, the leaders that had already been in Jerusalem, who again didn't really know why he was there. He says to them, you see the trouble that we are in? Jerusalem lies in ruins and its gates have been burned with fire. This wasn't obviously new news. They just hadn't done anything about it. He says, come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and we will no longer be in disgrace. I also told them about the gracious hand of my God on me and what the king has said to me. They didn't know about any of that. And they replied, after he shares this with them, they replied, let us start rebuilding. So they began this good work. Nehemiah doesn't just take the first step and ask the king for a favor. I mean, that was a big step. But he doesn't just take the first step. He keeps taking steps. He makes this long journey to Jerusalem. And then once he gets to Jerusalem, he begins to assess the situation. That's what we need to do. We need to look at the circumstances, the areas of our life. We're just going through the emotions. And we need to assess the situation. Then he comes up with a plan. And we've got a process. We've got to come up with a plan. What are we going to do differently? And then he begins to implement the plan. They started rebuilding the wall. Scripture, what you see, this example is just so practical for what we need to be doing in our lives. We've got to take the first step, and then the next step, and the next step, and the next step. But it all starts with one step in the right direction, making sure that whatever we're doing is aligned with God and His purposes. Now, you may need to start small. You may need to just take a baby step, but you need to take that first step, and then the next step, and the next step. Maybe you've been kind of going through the motions in your relationship with your children, and it's come to the point where your teenage son, the relationship with him is strained, and you've been praying that God would restore that relationship. And tonight, before you go to bed, find one positive thing that you can verbally affirm your son for. And then take that step. Swallow your pride. Push down your fears, apprehensions, whatever may be there. And speak a positive word. Speak something positive, something affirming into your son. He probably isn't going to reach out and hug you and start sharing his dreams and aspirations in life. He probably isn't going to start coming to you for advice and guidance on every decision he's making. He's probably not going to offer to take out the garbage every day or mow the lawn next summer. But you will have planted a seed. Take the first step. And then the next. And the next. And the next. Maybe you've been going through the motions when it comes to breaking free from that unhealthy habit, that addiction in your life that just got its claws in you. It's been wrecking relationships. You've almost been fired multiple times. You've been trying to handle it on your own, but you haven't been able to. Take a step. Take the first step. Find a support group that you can become a part of. Find you a good counselor, or at least find a good, mature Christian friend who will hold you accountable in this area of your life. But take a step. Take the first step, and then the next step, and the next step. Maybe you've been going through the motions in your marriage. Take a step. And get a book. I mean, buy a book on marriage. You can do like this, the DNA of relationships. And start reading that book, processing through what can you change in your life. Even if your spouse isn't at a point where they're wanting to do anything themselves, you can start working on you. Okay, find you a counselor. Begin to process. On little post notes, write yourself reminders, or on your phone, put in some daily reminders that are going to pop up. This is what I want to do differently. This is what I want to change in my marriage. But take the first step. Take a step, and then take the next step, and the next step, and the next step. Don't just keep going through the motions. We got to take the first step and then the next. And if you're waiting for perfect circumstances, they don't exist. So you just got to take the first step. Step out in faith with boldness, with courage, audacious faith. Take the first step and then the next and the next. And number three, the third action step that we need to take if we're going to gear up to go beyond the motions is we need to expect opposition and hurdles. We just expect it. There are going to be critics. There are going to be naysayers. You are going to face opposition. Don't be surprised. Don't be shocked. When we decide that we're not just going to keep going through the motions, that with God's help, we're going to do some things differently, that's going to ruffle some feathers, because it means change, and people around you, they don't like change, even when it's positive change, even when they're going to benefit from it. They're going to start saying, you know, who do you think you are? Why are you rocking the boat? Is this just another one of those little fads that you're getting all caught up in? Why are you turning everything upside down? Why are you being so nice all of a sudden? There's going to be some suspicion in the whole deal. As weird as it may seem, it is not uncommon for people, even people who are close to us, when we're trying to make positive changes in our life, for them to ridicule us, for them to start giving us a hard time. Know that it's coming. Expect it. Nehemiah certainly faced opposition and critics and naysayers, but we can't let that derail the changes that we are making in our lives. This account goes on, and I'm going to pick back up in chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. It says, when Sanballat, he was the governor over Samaria, didn't want Nehemiah or the Israelites diminishing his power or his clout. When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of associates in the army of Samaria, he said, What are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are? And he's just making fun of them. He's trying to humiliate him. What he's trying to do is he's trying to discourage him. And then Tobiah pipes in. It goes on the next verse. Tobiah the Ammonite, he's there with Sanballat. He's another one of political officials in the region. So this is Tobiah the Ammonite, who is at his side. He starts mouthing off too. What they are building, even a fox climbing up on it would break down their walls of stones. They're just trying to intimidate them. And it goes on in verse 8, and it says that they threaten to actually attack them. You see, if you're going to go beyond just going through the motions, you got to understand, you got to expect that there is going to be opposition, sometimes from people that you would have never expected the opposition to come from. Sometimes from people who are very close to you, maybe a very close friend, maybe a spouse, maybe a parent. Now, we need to listen to the advice. We need to listen to the cautions of others. But don't let the critics, don't let the doubters, don't let the naysayers hold you back. What you know that you need to be doing from the changes that you need to be making in your life. So we need to expect, live with the realization that there is going to be opposition as you begin to do some things differently, as you begin to make changes in your life. Then the fourth action step that we need to take, if we're going to gear up to go beyond the motions, number 4, is we need to stay focused and keep moving. We need to stay focused on God and His purpose for your life. Stay focused on what He's doing and keep moving. This right here, and this may be the most difficult step of all these steps, because there's so many distractions that are just constantly bombarding us and vying for our attention. You see, our natural pull is to drift back towards what we know. When we're trying to pull out of a pattern in our life, what the natural bent is going to be just to drift back towards status quo, to drift back towards just going through the motions. So let me ask you, what's distracting you from going beyond the motions in your life? What's scaring you? What's holding you back from pursuing God's best for your life? What's holding you back from pursuing Jesus, from being a part of what God is doing? Is it scars, wounds from your past? Internal recording, who am I kidding? I can't do this. I'm not that smart. God could never use somebody like me. God won't forgive somebody like me, not after the things that I've done. And you know what those recordings, those statements they do? They just keep us stuck going through the motions. And we just keep moving in that pattern. Well, look on down, verse 6 says, so we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart. They worked with all their heart. That's the kind of intense focus it takes to go beyond just going through the motions. But when we get to about the halfway point, what happens is a lot of times our focus starts to sag a little bit. Have you ever been there? I mean, we start out we start out like a rocket. I mean, we're ready to rock and roll. I mean, we are fired up. We're excited. We're ready to take on the world. And then we reach that halfway point. And all of a sudden, we start getting discouraged, and the obstacles, and then the detours, and the unexpected challenges, they start overwhelming us and weighing us down. They start getting to us. Look what happened down in verse 10. It says, meanwhile, the people of Judah said, the strength of the laborers is giving out, and there's so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall. Now, they'd been fine up until that point. The rubble, it had been there. All this garbage laying around, it had been there. But all of a sudden, it starts getting to them. Let me ask you, what's the rubble in your life? What's the rubble that's distracting you? Or what's the rubble that's most likely to distract you and wear you down from going beyond the motions? For a lot of us, it's just time wasters. It's just blowing time. You know, TV shows, surfing the internet, social media, get on Facebook. Just this is one little thing I'm going to check. An hour later, we're still on. Unhealthy habits. Trying to do too much, non-essentials. If we're going to go beyond the motions, we have got to stay focused on God. We've got to stay focused on what really matters in life. Sometimes what holds us back is our own insecurities, our fears, our baggage. We've got to choose to do some things differently than what we've been doing in our lives. The bottom line is it takes persistence. It takes the determination to go beyond the motions. But as we stay focused and we keep moving, they're going to be reignited with a sense of purpose and energy and passion. It's interesting. Malcolm Gladwell, you may have heard of his book, Outliers, A Story of Success. He found, in the research they did, found that those who are extremely or unusually successful put in at least 10,000 hours in developing their craft. In fact, in one key study of violinists in an elite music school, listen to this, they couldn't find any naturals. Musicians who floated effortlessly to the top while practicing a fraction of the time their peers did. What they found that was from elite violinists to rock bands like the Beatles, Bill Gates, you know, all these, they all put in over 10,000 hours before really making it big. In fact, listen to this quote. No one has found a case in which true world-class expertise was accomplished in less time, in less than 10,000 hours of practice. What's the point? The point is that going beyond the motions is going to take sustained focus. So we need God actively involved in our lives, giving us the wisdom, giving us the inner strength, giving us the energy, giving us the determination that we need to stay focused and keep moving, to keep pursuing the plan that God has for our lives. So Nehemiah and the people, they keep working away. But Sanballat and his tribe, they keep trying to derail the project. Goes on, I want to pick up in chapter 6, verse 2. Sanballat and Geshem, who's another leader in the area who's opposed to the rebuilding of the wall and fortifying of the city. Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message, Nehemiah said. Come, let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono. But they were scheming to harm me. So I sent messengers to them with this reply. This is great. I am carrying on a great project and cannot go down. I am carrying on a great project and cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave and go down to you? What a great answer. And look at that. That's what we need to learn to say. I am carrying on a great project, and I cannot go down. I am carrying on a great project. God has invited me to be a part of something impacting. God is doing something special in and through my life. I am doing a great project. I cannot go down. The result of that focus intensity was that in a short 52 days, they rebuilt the entire wall around Jerusalem. in spite of the formidable opposition that they were facing. I am carrying on a great project. I cannot go down. When some of your friends start trying to get you to give up on that new date night that you established because you want to build a strong, intimate, satisfying, healthy marriage, but they're trying to get you, just bail on that. Come on, let's just go out and have a good time. You say, no, I am carrying on a great project, and I cannot go down. I am carrying on a great work, a great project. I'm not giving it up. I'm not going to allow myself to be distracted. When you're tempted to quit volunteering at church, you're just going to sleep in. You're going to head out and spend a little more time on the golf course. No, I am carrying on a great project. I cannot go down. God is using me to represent Him, to make a difference in people's lives. When you are tempted to cut corners, to bend the truth, to close that deal, because that's what it's all about, isn't it? You'll know. I am carrying on a great project. I cannot go down. At work, in your school, I am carrying on a great project. I am representing God. I am on mission for God. I am carrying on a great project. I cannot go down. Wouldn't you like to live knowing that you're a part of something that is so big, so life-transforming, so impacting that you could sincerely say, man, I am carrying on a great project. I cannot go down. And that is precisely what God invites you to be a part of, to be on mission, to live your life representing Him. Purposefulness flows out of a life lived in alignment with God's purpose. Purposefulness flows out of alignment with God. We're going to bring this in for landing. Don't settle for just going through the motions. Do some things differently. Make some changes in your life. Take the first step in the right direction, and then the next step, and the next, and stay focused on God. Stay focused on His purpose for your life. Make sure that whatever you're doing, whatever you visualize, you've sensed that maybe God wants to do in your life, make sure that that's in alignment with His purpose. Because when it is, what happens is God gets actively involved in your life, and He will re-energize you. And you will find yourself experiencing the significance and the joy and the purposefulness and the passion that you so long for in your life. And you will see God using you in a powerful way. And you will begin to realize, I am not just going through the motions anymore. I am going beyond the motions. Because purposefulness flows out of alignment with God. But what it's going to take, is this going to take doing some things differently if you're going to go beyond the motions? It's going to take some changes in your life. Would you bow your heads with me? Would you be willing to pray in your heart and say, God, I am tired of just going through the motions. God, I want to make some changes. I want to do some things differently in my life. And I want to make sure that what I'm doing is in alignment with your purpose, your plan for my life. Our life is never going to be in alignment with God without establishing a relationship with Him. If you've never opened your life up to Him, would you pray in your heart? Say, God, change me. Change me from the inside out. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to open up my life to you. Jesus came into this world, died on the cross to offer you the gift of forgiveness and to offer you the gift of purposefulness rather than emptiness. Would you in your heart say, Jesus, today I am choosing to accept your gift of forgiveness. I want to follow you with my life. Or my prayer is that all across this place, you would give individuals the courage, the boldness to take that first step of bold, audacious faith in the right direction towards your purpose for their life. Pray that you would give individuals the courage and the inner strength and the determination to make the changes that they need to make and to start doing some things differently with your help. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.